A lone rider, tall and rawhide lean, sat his saddle easily as the horse picked its way down from the high country. Preacher was riding one horse and leading two more. The pack animals were carrying 500 plews each, beaver pelts perfectly skinned, dried, and stretched so as to be of the finest quality. The trail followed alongside a meandering brook where cool, sweet water broke white over rocks as it rushed downhill. At the end of the trail, there would be rendezvous, a gathering of mountain men and traders, trappers and fur dealers, Indians, whiskey drummers, Bible salesmen, whores, friends and strangers. Many a mountain man spent his entire winter thinking ahead to the next rendezvous, using it as an incentive to help him through the long period of isolation. Preacher wasn't one of them, though. In fact, he often changed trails to avoid these occasional meetings. For him, rendezvous was a necessary part of doing business. It was not 2 weeks of drinking, gambling, and whore. Preacher smelled the rendezvous first. The aroma of coffee and cooking meat, the smell of wood and tobacco smoke, and more unpleasant odors of scores of bodies, unwashed for months, gathered in one place. Preacher rode into a clearing, and there he saw it. Men and women clad in buckskin, feathers, homespun, store-bought suits, bits of color, flashes of beads, silver and gold. Dozens of tents and temporary shelters had been erected, many of them little more than canvas flaps protruding from the wagons that had brought the traders, dealers, and goods here from back east.
Whoa, shit!
Looking over in surprise, Preacher saw Henri Mouchette toss his rifle aside, clawing for the pistol he had stuck down in his trousers.
Oh, not again!
Preacher leapt from his horse, not away from Mouchette, as Mouchette might have suspected, but directly toward him. Mouchette was caught off guard by Preacher's unexpected reaction. Rather than pulling his pistol cleanly, he dropped it as he jerked it from his trousers. Preacher shoved Mouchette hard, and he staggered back, the tree breaking his fall. Mouchette pulled his knife and held it in front of him, palm up, the knife moving back and forth slowly, like the head of a coiled snake.
That's a rat. I'd rather gut you than shoot you anyway. Shooting kills too fast.
Mouchette nodded toward the pack horses Preacher had brought in.
By rats, they should be my plews. Pulled my traps out of the water and set your own.
Now we went through all that. My traps were there first. You pulled them out and replaced them with yours. I was only returning the favor.
Who gave you a title to the creek anyway?
Nobody has a title to any land up there. It's first come, first serve, same as it's always been, and I was first there.
You wouldn't even have known about it if you hadn't heard me talking about it last year.
That's not true, and you know it. I've trapped that same creek for 5 winters now. You can ask anyone here.
Yeah, well, it don't matter now, because you ain't going to be trapping in it no more. I aim to split you open from your gullet to your pecker.
Mouchette lunged forward and made a swipe with his knife. The move was unexpected and quick. The Preacher barely managed to dance back out of the way.
Mouchette, I don't want to fight you. If you've got a dispute with me, we can take it up with the Trapper's Court.
Trapper's Court wasn't an official court. It was just a group of trappers who would hear arguments from both sides of a dispute, then suggest a settlement. Their suggestions had no power of law, only the power of public opinion. But for most mountain men, that was binding enough.
Nah, I think I'll just kill you. Then there won't be nothing to set there.
Mouchette lunged forward again, but this time Preacher was ready for him, and he easily slipped the knife thrust, then countered with a hard blow to Mouchette's ear. Mouchette jumped back, then put his hand to his ear. That gave Preacher the opening he needed, and he reached for his own knife, only to discover that it wasn't on his belt. He looked back toward his horse and saw that his knife was in a scabbard on a belt that was hanging around the saddle pommel. His rifle was in the rifle boot, and his pistol was in the saddle bag. He was barehanded against Mouchette.
Well now, ain't that something? Seems to me like you have come to a knife fight without a knife.
Mouchette crouched over and held the knife in front of him, still moving it back and forth. Suddenly, a knife whizzed by in front of Preacher and stuck in the tree beside him. Preacher had no idea who it came from, and he didn't know who to thank, but at this point, he had no time to consider such things. Preacher pulled the knife from the tree, then faced Mouchette. The ease and confident smile left Mouchette's face, but the determination didn't.
Good. I like it better this way. It'll be no fun in killing you unless you fight back, sir.
Preacher came up on the balls of his feet, crouching slightly, holding the knife firmly, but not too tight, palm up in his right hand. Two men began moving around each other warily, now entirely circled by people who had come from all over the rendezvous, drawn to the spectacle of a fight to the death. Mouchette moved in, raised his left hand as if to shield what he was going to do, then raised his knife hand to come in behind that shield. Mouchette moved his knife hand back down swiftly, as quickly as a striking snake, and thrust it toward Preacher. Preacher felt the knife burn as it opened a cut on his side, but he managed to twist away, barely avoiding the killing thrust. He responded with a quick counter thrust. Preacher's knife went under Mouchette's ribs, slipping in cleanly, easily, and all the way to the hilt.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.